Well, welcome to Hoboken Grace. For those of you who are with us for the first time, or for those of you who are listening online, my name is Chris High. I'm the teaching pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and we're super excited to be able to have you with us this morning. Today, we're kicking off a brand new conversation called Lifted, Embracing the Joy of Encouragement. And right from the beginning, I just want to let you know I'm not great at encouragement. This isn't my strongest point. And so throughout the next few weeks, we're going to be learning a lot about this together and putting this in practice together. And depending on where you grew up and the generation that you grew up in, whether or not the teachers that you had used red ink or not, your opinion on encouragement may be a little bit different. I grew up, a large portion of my life was spent on a farm in southwestern Michigan, and encouragement looked a little bit different there. I went to work for UPS coming out of high school, and encouragement was kind of the same there as it was on the farm. And I remember they sent someone to talk to us. We were managers, talked to our managers about encouraging our employees. And we told the guy, we said, listen, we encourage our employees all the time. Almost every day I encourage my employees, do a good job or you won't have a job tomorrow. Every day. And depending on where you grew up and all that, your opinion on encouragement, how you've experienced encouragement, it can be very, very different. But that's not what this is about, right? This isn't about my opinion, your experience. This is about, okay, what does God say about this thing called encouragement? And how do we begin to put that into practice? Because when you look at what God's Word says, when you look at specifically the New Testament, from Acts to Revelation, 44 times in the New Testament, it talks about this thing called encouragement. And over and over and over again, we're told to be encouraging one another. And you see examples of individuals encouraging one another. You see writers encouraging churches. The New Testament is filled with encouragement. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 4:29. It says, don't use foul or abuse language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. This is our primary verse as we're walking through this series. How do we begin to live our lives in such a way that our words, let everything that you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them? You see, one of our primary roles, when you look at how God is leading us and what it means to be a part of His family, one of our primary roles in each other's lives is to be an encouragement. To bring encouragement. But I think that most of us struggle with this. And I think there's a lot of reasons behind why we struggle with this. And this idea that everything I do could somehow be an encouragement to those around us. What does that look like? How do we do that? That's the question we're asking as we walk forward in this series and as we prepare for Christmas. And as we walk through a series where we walk through a time in our lives where things can get so busy and so hectic, and it's supposed to be a time where man, you're spending time with family and you're enjoying celebrating the Christmas season. But the truth is we usually end up moving incredibly fast. We usually end up running over each other in the process. And if we're honest, by the time we get to Christmas Day, for a lot of us, we're just kind of glad that it's over. And not much of what we've done or what we've said in the process has been an encouragement to anyone. So as we walk through this month, how can we begin to build into our lives? How do we begin to listen to what God says in such a way that we become an encouragement to everyone around us? And how do we begin to speak that into one another's lives in the midst of this busy season, in the midst of this time where we can get so distracted and so weighed down? And for a lot of us, it can be extremely lonely. So how do we speak encouragement into those times? I think that it starts at the foundation. And so today, that's what I want to go to, because I think I need to lay a little bit of a foundation before we get to what it actually looks like on a day-to-day basis. Because I think one of the biggest problems that we have when it comes to encouragement is that we don't understand people. And that we don't understand the situation that we're in together as people. And so because of that, our encouragement becomes shallow. And I think that if we're going to be able to live out this passage, let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words be an encouragement to those who hear them. I think if we're going to do that, we have to be able to see people the way that God sees people and to see sin the way that God sees sin. I want to take you to a passage. It's found in Psalms chapter 14. Verse 1 through 3, it says, "Only fools say in their hearts, there is no God. They are corrupt and their actions are evil. Not one of them does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the entire human race. He looks to see if anyone is truly wise, if anyone seeks God. But no, all have turned away. All have become corrupt. No one does good, not a single one." In Psalms, he comes out, he says, listen, I want you to understand something about people. They're all broken. They're all messed up. They're all headed the wrong direction. And it's interesting because this passage is actually quoted again in Romans. In Romans 3:10, it says this. It says, "As scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one." And some of you are here and you're like, Chris, I understand you're not good at encouragement, but you're really headed down the wrong path here. I mean, this is as discouraging as it could possibly get. But you see, I think that in that is where we begin to find our problem with encouragement. If we're going to be able to really be able to do what God says and to be an encouragement all the time in the lives of the people around us, I think the problem is in the way that we look at people. And in our understanding, maybe, of what encouragement actually means. The definition of encouragement is this. Encouragement defined is actually to give somebody hope or confidence. And I think a big problem with us in encouragement is that we think that encouragement is to help someone feel better about themselves. We think that encouragement is to somehow lift someone's spirit. And so I'll have conversations with people who are struggling, and I'll have conversations with people who are trying to help people who are struggling, and they're saying, well, listen, you know what, the guy, he's a really good guy, but she's a really good guy, but I'm a really good guy, but, and they go through this, and they speak words into one another's lives, but the truth is that if you look at what God says, we're not really good people, we're broken people. If you look at what God says, the hope isn't that I'm a really good guy. But we think that encouragement is to come along someone who's struggling and say, you know what, listen, you can make it. We think that encouragement is to come along someone who's struggling and say, listen, you know what, I understand that you're making some really bad choices, but you're really a good person. The problem with it is that it isn't actually true if you look at what God's word says. Do you know what the difference between encouragement and flattery is? Sincerity and truth. And a lot of times we step into one another's lives and we're very sincere about what we're saying to them, but the fact is it's not actually true. And when you look at what God has to say to you and me, he says, listen, you need to understand something about you. You need to understand something about people. People are completely broken. You need to understand something about where you stand. This battle that you're trying to win, you're not going to win it because you're broken. This thing that you're trying to overcome, you're not going to be able to overcome it because you're broken. And you say, Chris, that's not encouraging at all. But when you read through the scriptures, you realize that the reason God comes to us like this is because God understands the encouragement and the hope and the confidence that you can have is not based on the fact that you're a good guy. The encouragement and the hope and the confidence that you have, and this is what God comes to you and says to you. He comes to you and says, listen, you're broken. You have no chance. You have no hope unless you have someone who saves you. Unless someone saves you. And I sent my son to do just that. I sent my son to do just that. You see, when God looks at sin and the decisions that we've made in our lives, he says, no, listen, there's nothing good about that. And sometimes we'll step into one another's lives and we'll say, listen, you know, what happened? It's not that big a deal. Listen, you're going to be able to move past it. No, it is a big deal. And you're broken. And for God, encouragement is not just, hey, listen, let me help you feel better about the situation. For God, encouragement is bringing truth into the situation and say, listen, you have no chance unless someone saves you. And I sent my son to do just that. Listen to this passage. Romans 5:7, he says, for one would hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare to even die. But God demonstrates his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, for God, the hope and the confidence, this idea of encouragement, is not just about making the people around you feel better about themselves. It's about realizing the truth of who we are and understanding I need a Savior, but God sent one. And this entire foundation of encouragement, our entire foundation of how we can begin to move into one another's lives and begin to help them, to build them up and lift them up on a consistent basis is based on the fact that we need a Savior, but God sent one. You see, the hope that you have, the hope that I have, is the fact that we can be reborn. And so when God sends his son, and his son goes to that cross, and he pays the penalty for me and for you, and he takes the place for all of those sins, all the things that we had done to hurt those around us, all the things that we had done to walk away from God, when he does that, he gives you the opportunity to be able to be reborn. You see, the first thing that we have to understand, if we're going to be an encouragement, is we have to understand the truth about who people are. We have to understand the truth about sin. And the next thing that we have to understand is that people can be reborn. And in your life, what God is trying to do, and we talk about God restoring things here at Hoboken Grace all the time. We talk about how God is constantly restoring things, how he's taking things that are broken and making them beautiful. And we talk about this idea of being born again. And sometimes I think we fall into the trap of believing that God is going to come in and he's going to take what's messed up about me and he's going to clean it up. And he's going to take what's broken about me and twist it about me, and he's just going to make it a little bit better. But that's not actually what the Bible says. That's what we try to do in one another's lives. That's what we think encouragement is in one another's lives. So if you would imagine this light bulb as being our life, right? We come alongside of someone, and maybe they're struggling, and so maybe the light bulb's a little bit dirty, and so we were trying to help them clean it up, and we're like, listen, you know what? You're really a good guy. It's not that big a deal. You'll be able to make it through it. And so we're coming along. We're offering all these things to make them feel better. But the truth is, the light bulb doesn't turn on. It's broken. And no matter how much you clean it, no matter what you do to it, it's broken. It's not going to turn on. And in your life and in my life, God comes along, and I think sometimes we think that God's just going to clean it up a little bit more, and then we'll finally be able to be what it was meant to be. But the truth is, the problem is on the inside, not on the outside. And when God restores, God doesn't come in and clean things up. The way that God restores, and you read through this in the New Testament, I'm about to read you a passage that talks about this, right? When God restores, God comes in. He doesn't clean things up because he realized the problem is on the inside. He realized the problem is much bigger than that. When God restores, he brings in something brand new. And when you look at what God's word has to say, and you look at the message of Jesus Christ, listen to what it says in 1 Peter 1:3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. You see, the hope that we have is that we can be new. The confidence that we have is not that, hey, I'm a good guy. The confidence that we have is not, hey, you know what? I can be a little bit better. Maybe I can try a little bit harder. That's not it. And this whole message of Christmas is about a God who realized the truth of who we were. And he sent his son to give his life to pay for everything that we had done so that we could be made new. So that from the inside out, it would work. And for some of you, you're here, and the truth is you've been trusting in a lot of other things. And you, maybe you've been telling this to yourself. Maybe other people have been telling you this, and they thought, man, you know what? I can build into this person by just telling them, hey, listen, you're a good guy. Listen, you can get out of this. Listen, you just try a little bit harder. We'll come alongside of you. But the problem is, and you know it, and the reason you haven't been encouraged by it is because at the core of who you are, you know it. You know it's broken. And you need to be made new. And God's message to you is that if you'll stop trusting in you being good enough, and you'll trust in what Jesus Christ did on that cross, that you can be reborn. And you want to talk about hope and confidence. You're going to find a new hope and a new confidence. And as we look at how we can begin to be what Christ has called us to be in one another's lives, to be an encouragement, right? It starts from here. Everything that we speak into one another's lives is based on the fact that we've been made new. It influences how we encourage when someone's lost a job. It influences how we encourage when someone's lost a loved one. It influences how we encourage when someone's struggling through something. It influences every word of encouragement that we bring into one another's lives. And it can be spoken with complete sincerity and total truth. And it's from here that we work. And next week we're going to walk through, okay, how then do we begin to speak that into the lives of the people around us? How then does the fact that we've been made new, how does that begin to influence the words that we say to those around us? But I want to go back to this because I understand that there are a lot of you who've been traveling with us for several months now. And you love what we talk about here on Sundays, and you're taking the principles and you put them into practice, and you're realizing that God's truth is really true. And you're doing better, and that's great, but the problem is it's still broken. The problem is you're still trusting yourself. The problem is you haven't actually been made new. And if you want to experience what we're about to walk through, you have to trust God. You have to trust Jesus Christ that he gave his life for you. And you have to be willing to go to him and say, okay, God. And it doesn't matter how you say it, but to be able to go to him and say, God, listen, I understand I need to be made new. I understand that I'm not going to make it. I understand that, listen, I'm not good. I need you. Please make me new. I'm trusting that you paid for what I've done. I'm trusting that you gave your life for me. Please make me new. And he will. And it will just be the beginning of this journey of encouragement. Will you pray with me? Father, today as we walk through this, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of those who are here. I pray that they would see this incredible encouragement that you've brought to us. That you gave your son for us so that we could be born again. When all of us had gone our own way, when all of us had walked away from you, when all of us wanted nothing to do with you, you came for us. And you didn't just come to piece things back together. You came to make it brand new. Father, I pray that those here who don't know that, I pray that they would trust you. That they would step into that light. That they would trust you. In Jesus' name.